a month or so ago, and he's going to share that while he's coming. We're going to do something interesting this coming year. I feel really led of the Lord. We're going to do a thing called Here's My Life on a Sunday morning, maybe three times a year in this year. And I'm going to have a lady share what God has done in her life. So Christian's going to share this morning.
Very good. Is the mic working? They tell me I should keep it in my mouth so that you can hear better. Just bear with me a second. We need to prepare something. And while we prepare, I only have one question for John Flager, for my dear brother. When you sing this and you drive your rig, does your rig go like this? Don't be afraid. The only ones who know what is going to go on today is the people from the youth group. So if you don't go to youth group, you have missed something. Okay, but before we start our sermon, I would like to ask Allison Leto to come and to read to us the scripture on which we're going to base the sermon on. Please, Allison, come forward. We'll get you a mic. The yellow one is okay? Okay. You want to come here? Yeah. Let's do it here. Yeah, you have a space here. Take the yellow one. And just let's go.
The sixth angel sounded his trumpet, and I heard a voice coming from the four horns of the golden altar that is before God. It said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." And the four angels who had been kept ready for this very hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. The number of the mounted troops was twice 10,000 times 10,000. I heard their number. The horses and riders I saw in my vision looked like this. Their breastplates were fiery red, dark blue, and yellow as sulfur. The heads of the horses resembled the heads of lions, and out their mouths came fire, smoke, and sulfur. A third of mankind was killed by the three plagues of fire, smoke, and sulfur that came out of their mouths. The power of the horses in their mouths and their tails, for their tails were like snakes having heads with which they inflict injury. The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the work of their hands. They did not stop worshiping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood idols that cannot see or hear or walk. Nor did they repent of their murders, their magic arts, their sexual immorality, or their thefts.
Thank you. Thank you, Allison. About a month and a half ago, we staged a prison break. I don't know if any one of you remembers. Perhaps we can take a very short survey. How many of you were here on Thanksgiving Sunday to hear the sermon? So quite a few, but not all of you. So on Thanksgiving Sunday, we staged a prison break. About 35 years ago, I escaped from that prison. I escaped from a prison that was exactly like this. So we, on that Sunday, we made it visual. We made it clear so that it also is imprinted in your vision, in your brain. And today we're just going to repeat it, but I know after the sermon, immediately, Luke and Daniel Javik came to me and said, "Christian, you didn't finish your sermon. What happened?" And it is true, but I told them we have to give it some time to verify whether I really didn't finish my sermon. They are not here today, but they made sure that we are going to verify something, which I will tell you what they saw. This is the prison. This is the prison, and I would like to describe it to you afterwards. You are very welcome to come and see it, to look and see it. I do not have Luke and Daniel to take it around so you can see it, but you can come here. This is the prison, and most of us are in this prison, or sit in this prison or have been in this prison at some point in time before they broke out of that prison. The prison has four walls. Here is the first wall. On this wall, Elizabeth, confirm, it says birth. Yeah, this is the first wall that we see in this prison. And we stand before this wall and we realize that none of us had a choice to get born. None of us was asked whether they wanted to be born. I wasn't asked whether I wanted to be born. I was not consulted to choose my parents. I was not asked whether I want to be a boy or a girl. I was also not asked whether I wanted to be intelligent or dumb. I wasn't asked whether I would look good or I wouldn't look so good. I also wasn't asked whether I should do this or that in life. I was just born. I was just thrown into this world. Opposite of that wall, Elizabeth, look at this, how this moves, is a wall called death. This wall called death is something that is in front of us, in front of every one of us. We will not have a choice but to die. We all have to die. There is nothing we can do about it. This is a wall that sits there and it's stone cold, and we have it draped with pictures of life, and we have nice music playing in front of it, singing songs about life and how beautiful life is. But this is a wall, it stands there, and we all have to face it. And then, here is another wall. This wall is called fate. It's right here. The wall is called fate. And we said on that Sunday that this is a wall that is the most stone-cold wall in all of prison. It is all those circumstances, all those events that come upon us, and we just don't know what to do with it. It could be sickness, it could be death, it could be circumstances that are way more than we can bear. And this is a wall, and it sits there, it's stone cold, and we sit in front of it, and we bang our hands against this wall and say, why, why? And this wall does not answer. It doesn't answer at all. And then the final wall opposite of fate is a wall called
debt.
It's a wall called debt. And this wall called debt is all those things that we did, we said, we made, or we didn't. All those things where we fell short of an expectation or we fell short of something that we were supposed to do. And here we are in this prison. And don't tell me there is nobody in prison, because there is people in prison. All the heroes that we know, they are in here in prison. Whether it's the jokester, whether it's Superman, whether it's Batman, or whether it's that red guy, which I call the runner, but I know it's not the runner, it's something else.
Flash
Gordon's alive. Okay, very good. They are all in here. And you know what? Since then, they're still here. They have not escaped the prison. They have not escaped the prison. Allison read to us a passage from the book of Revelation. And I know when we read the book of Revelation, we are all very much inclined to start speculating about time, about what these events are precisely, who the Antichrist is, who the prophet is, who does, you know, that animal that comes out of the ocean is, and everything. But basically what Revelation tells us in a nutshell is that there is somebody out there, a very, very powerful person that comes with a very vast army that wants to make sure that we are not getting out of this prison. Allison read an older version that said, Allison, do you remember what was it? 10,000 times 10,000. I know this is an old version. The newer version says the army was 200 million. 200 million. Now, 200 million, that is quite something. 200 million. This is how the devil comes and fights against people. Against people that sit in prison. 200 million. I just made an exercise at home. I gave it up eventually. I wanted to know how many angels exist. You can imagine how many opinions there are about this. I read numbers of, 14 trillion. I read numbers of several hundred billion. You know, and all these kinds of things. We know that the devil was thrown out of heaven, and he took a third of the angels with him. Now make up your own number. I think it's a very significant number that the devil took with him. And when you read the text before the text that Allison read to us, again we find how, you know, certain angels, evil, not angels, they are not evil, they are not angels anymore, evil spirits that come. And there is three words that are given to us in Revelation 9. One is the word harm, the other one is the word torture, and the third word is the word torment. We have a strong enemy that makes sure that we cannot come out of this prison. And he will employ a vast army to accomplish that. So no wonder that these guys are still in prison. What the devil will do, and Pastor preached about this before when he preached about the deceiving spirits. But one thing he does is he scares us. In the epistles, it says that the devil walks around like a roaring lion or like an angry lion to see who he can devour. That's what he does. He scares us, and then what does it say in the text that we read from Revelation? And then he kills a third of the earth. He scares us, and then he kills us. He wants us to stay in prison and for us to get killed in that prison. Then, one other thing that he does is he seduces us so that we get firmly established in pleasure. And I don't just mean sexual pleasure. I know that we have a tendency to put everything in the box called sex. No. You know, I disagree with that. I don't think that is the only box. And I don't think that box is so prominent that we can always put it on the pedestal. But there is many, many things that fall under the category of pressure. Yesterday in the movie, we saw how the old Alzheimer lady, you know, said to her son that God will give you a good life and he will let you have a good life. Not God gives you, the Satan gives you a good life and he lets you have that good life and he will seduce you to believe that everything is fine, and that already is your jail sentence. The good life. But he also seduces you to do stupid stuff. And then you will not have a good life. And then again, you will end up in jail. And then, of course, he deceives us, and he deceives you, and he deceives many people with lies. I think this one is the most dangerous. Because once you believe a lie, and your mind and your heart is tuned to that lie, that's when he got you. That's when he got me. And again, we stay in prison. So when we are so preoccupied with these things, we don't have any time anymore to think about an offer from God who wants to get us out of prison. And I will come to that in a second. Please don't believe me, but believe the facts. Read Revelation and figure out how these things are folding out before the world will come to an end, before God will come back to collect his own people, but to also pass judgment on everybody else who did not bow their knees and profess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Can you imagine on that day how it will be to see Muslims kneeling down before Jesus Christ, the Lamb in heaven, and having to profess, even though they always resisted and they always were opposed to this, to profess that Jesus Christ is indeed Lord. So, you know, with all these preoccupations, with all these deceptions, with all these lies, many of us, you notice I say us. I don't say them, I say us. You know, what we do is we start to enjoy being in prison. We start enjoying being in prison. And what do? We build a house. And we feel fine. Interesting, isn't it? Revelation tells us, and I think we need to take that very serious, you know, we have a mighty, mighty enemy that will muster everything he has in order to make sure that whoever sits in prison will stay in prison and doesn't come out of here. Jesus Christ came as the only one, and tore down one of the walls of the prison. Come on. He tore down this wall. Elizabeth, again, this is the wall called?
Debt.
He took our debt, he took our sin, and he took it to the cross. He paid for us. We couldn't pay for that debt, not even a penny. He took it and he opened it. And he came into prison. Those of you who were here on that Sunday, remember, Jesus Christ is the only one who chose to be born. He had a choice. He had a choice. He did not keep his privilege in heaven as being the Son of God. He came down on the earth and was born. He was born. He is the only one who had the choice to die. And he said, yes. He said, yes, I will die. I will die for the debt of everybody else, because nobody can save themselves except if I pay that bill. He is the only one who accepted his fate. His fate was the worst fate that anyone can have. And the Bible attests that. And he came into our prison to knock down this wall so that we can get out of prison. Still remember my initial question, and this is what Luke and Daniel put in my head to be very, very clear about. Why are these people still in prison? And that's what we talked about before. Now remember, when you take Jesus' hand when he comes in prison and offers you to get you out of prison, he will take you around the prison. And all of a sudden you will see that behind this wall called birth, you will discover that you were wanted. God wanted you. He knew about you way before you were born. And he loved you. This is why he let you be born. That's why he let your parents to be born. That's why he will let your kids to be born. Because he wants you. And he wants you because there is a reason for us to live in this world. Not only to proclaim the glory of God, but also to be instruments to have many of these people saved. Jesus came in this world just with one mission, saving people. Nothing else. He did not come to establish a new rule or to establish a new philosophy or to establish anything. He came to save people so that they can become citizens in his own kingdom. Behind the wall of death, we see a cross. And the cross is the entry to eternal life. And behind this wall of death, we see a Lord, a risen Lord, who is the only one who rose from the dead, with his arms stretched out, ready to receive you. And he says, I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you, and I have a crown for you. I have a reward for you. So come. Don't be afraid to die. And then behind the wall of faith, it's still a little foggy because we will not get all the answers that we might want to our many whys. But there is again Jesus Christ, the Lord, and he says, I'm still greater. I'm greater than anything that you can suffer. I'm greater than anything that can happen to you. I'm still greater. And remember, I have suffered all those things, and I have suffered worse. And I have overcome. I have overcome. The interesting thing is, and this is something I have to say that shocked me a little bit when God helped me prepare for this. This prison is not just full of people who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, but it is also populated by people that do not know Jesus or that know about Jesus but have not accepted his hand so that they can come out of the prison. It is also, and I use the word us, it is also for people who profess they are Christians, but who may profess that they are Christians, but they don't follow Jesus Christ or don't live according to what he says. That is, I don't like that sentence, but basically, they don't trust Jesus. When it comes to an opinion about what Jesus says, anyways, they will say, well, that's not what I believe. I think I have evidence to something else. In the story of the woman at the well, we spoke in Sunday school briefly about that. It is a story that is absolutely amazing. I don't know if most of you know it. It's the Samaritan woman. Jesus goes to Samaria or walks through Samaria with his disciples and meets this woman at the well in Samaria and asks her to give him some water. Then he starts talking to her and so on and so on. And this woman ends up to be the first missionary in Samaria. I know our first instinct, and again, I already said, you know, I don't like box called sex to be put on the pedestal. That is our first thing. You know, he calls her out because she had five men she lived with and, you know, all these kinds of things. Yes, that is correct, but to me there is more to that than just those five men. This woman had put herself, gave herself a rule on how she would be complete. And basically what she figured for herself is that without a man, she is incomplete. She had put that in her head, and that was her driving force, and everything was driven by that. Now, don't jump on that woman because of man. And don't you men think that, oh, that's that woman's problem, because it's not just that woman's problem. We all have certain things that we believe we need in order to be complete. Whether that is a partner, whether a man thinks that only with a woman he's complete, or a woman that only with a man she's complete, we have other things. We believe that without certain prosperity, certain property, certain things, we are not complete. Think about it. Figure out your thing, if you have one. Certain things that you need to have in order to be complete. This woman had such an issue. She had an issue that everything else was blocked out because she had one thing she needed in order to be complete. And this was in her head. And everything was done that way. Jesus went to Samaria to meet this woman. He didn't go to Samaria because it was a coincidence. Jesus went to Samaria to meet this woman, to deal with her issue. He could not have met this woman in her house. Why? Because the consequence of her needing this to be complete basically made sure that, first of all, that she didn't invite anyone because she would have gotten in trouble somehow. She would have caused other issues to come up. He had to meet her in the middle of the day, in the blazing heat, at a fountain, at a well, where nobody else was. So she had to keep everything secret and had to come out to do these things. And that's where Jesus meets her. And he talks to her. And in the end, it is that he says, what was that famous thing? I cannot remember all the verses, but we talked about it this morning. Jesus said to her, yet a time is coming and is now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. She was so amazed when Jesus told her what her issue was for her completeness. And this, she was absolutely amazed. She said, "How? You know, this is amazing. He brought it to the point. He pinpointed it precisely, exactly." And so Jesus told her that when you come out of this prison and you follow me, the Holy Spirit will remove all these other things and you will be here with me pure, without any of these accessories, without any of these requirements that you have put up in order, in your eyes, to be complete. I have to say that, and I have to admit to you, and to admit publicly, that many times in my life I had these requirements for myself. And every time Jesus had to meet me at my well, in the middle of the day, in the blazing sun, and had to talk to me, and had to point these things out to me. He wants me pure, without any of these requirements. And then I can worship him, and then we can worship together. But it's amazing that those are also sometimes the houses that we build in order to make it nice in here, in the prison. That could be rules that we make. And remember, Jesus had an issue with the Pharisees. He had an issue with many Jews to whom he came. These guys all knew what it was about. But they set up these extra things around their faith that constituted something that they called righteousness. Jesus calls us out too, that we have those things that prevent us to worship in the Spirit and in truth. Finally, there is one issue that I think is very interesting. I know sometimes we push it away from us. The third reason why there is still people here in prison is because we want to earn our way out of prison. What Jesus offers us to pay our debt and to take us out of here is for free. To me, it's amazing. Everybody wants something for free. But when Jesus comes and offers us something for free, we said, no thanks. Amazing. I'm sorry, it just doesn't get into my thick head. It is for free. We don't need to do anything. We just need to take his hand and let him walk us out of prison. Because the the Bible tells us very clearly, there is nothing we can do to earn our way out or to buy our way out. There's nothing. Nothing. At least, I didn't find anything. If you find anything, please go to Pastor first. He may receive you without a lunch. And then both of you come to me and set me straight. But I have not found anything that even indicates slightly to me that I can do anything in order to get out of here. Jesus has to come and to get me out. When Elijah met the people of Israel, and they met on Mount Carmel, Elijah asked them, and I will again read it to you. He said to the people of Israel, "How long will you waver between two options? How long will you waver between two options?" In other translation, it says, "How long will you limp on both sides?" And I, again, in youth group, we did this. Ronnie Lee will help me to show you what Elijah meant. Let's see if we can get this done. See, this is the fun thing they do in youth group. That's why it's fun to go to youth group. Okay. All the way to the back. Let's see if we have enough rope here. Nobody will be tied up, so please don't be alarmed. But I can tell Elizabeth is also already very excited. Go ahead. Very nice. Okay? We will make two sections here. Ronnie Lee, put this to the right, to my right. No, yeah, that's very good. What does it say on it?
God.
It says God, and the left side here says world. Okay? Very good, Ronnie Lee. You already know the drill. He says, do not limp on both sides. Okay, where is Ronnie Lee standing now?
World.
In the world, okay. Change your stance. Where is she standing now? On the side of God. Where is she standing now? Okay, where is she standing now? No. No. Can you stand on this line? On the middle line? Really? Where am I now? I'm neither nor, yeah? Many people like to stand here. Many people like to stand here. Or they like to stand like this. Yeah? A little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of the world, because it's so nice in there. It's nice in prison, you know, you get fed every day and you know, God knows what else you get in prison that you could consider nice. But then also you want to be with God because you have a bad conscience and you think that God is going to come after you and going to take the whip out or the 2x4 and whack you or something like that. So what did we say, Ronnie Lee? You remember? You remember? Tell them. You don't remember? Well, Elijah says you need to take sides. You need to pick sides. You need to pick sides. You need to either stay here or stay here because you cannot do this. I know the people don't believe us. I don't think they believe us. So who would give you credit for what here? Leave it there. Who would give us credit for what if we stay like this? Does God give you credit for this? Why?
He wants all of us.
He wants all of you. He wants all of me. So I better, if God is my reward, then I better stay here. The world is equally jealous, ladies and gentlemen. The world will not forgive you this. Very good. You cannot have two masters. Exactly, because let me tell you, this master over here is going to complain about this master over here. And the world will make God look ridiculous. Well, not the world. We make God look ridiculous. And, you know, the world also looks ridiculous if we stand on both sides. Now, please, again, do not believe me. Believe the word of God. Believe him. Ronnie Lee, yes, you can sit down. Thank you. Thank you very much. Nobody can stand on the middle line. There is no middle ground. There is no middle ground. But the people, when Elijah said this to them, it says here in 1 Kings 18, it says, but the people said nothing. They said nothing when he said that. How long are you going to limp on both sides? Then Elijah said to them, I am the only one of the Lord's prophet left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Get two bulls for us, let them choose for themselves, and let them cut them into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood and not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, the God who answers by fire. He is God. Then all the people say, what you say is good. Okay, this is why we did this, and we did this in youth group, because you need to see it. Unless you see it, you probably won't believe it. But this is basically what Elijah said. Now, would Jesus Christ confirm this? What do you think? In the book of Revelation, after John saw all of those things that are going to happen in this world, Jesus Christ says one thing to John, which is significant. In Revelation 22, he said, let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile continue to be vile. Let him who does right continue to do right. And let him who is holy continue to be holy. Now, many people misinterpret that and say that's an invitation to be bad, or that's an invitation to do evil. No. What Jesus says to John, whoever is on this side should stay on this side. Whoever is on this side should stay on this side. You need to make a decision. You cannot stand on both sides. So what I'm doing now is not correct. You make your decision. If you reject God, if you reject Jesus, if you don't take his hand, stand on this side. Don't try to do this. You stand on this side. If you accept Jesus and you accept him to take you out of prison, you stand on this side. So this is our choice today. Today again, you know, Jesus is making the same offer to you that he made 6 weeks ago. 6 weeks ago, Jesus made you an offer to take his hand, to trust him, to take his hand, and to walk out of prison. And all you need to do for this is to confess your sins, to confess that you have missed the mark, to accept the forgiveness that Jesus Christ gives you, basically the bill that pays for your debt. And that's how you begin to walk with Jesus. This thing is all written in the Gospels. That's what the Gospels are all about. They are about to let you know that prison is open and you can get out. And Jesus Christ has signed those Gospels himself. This is not something that I made up or that I came up with, because this is how Jesus Christ saved me too. That night in my room, pitch dark, I prayed to Jesus and I said, you know, from now on, I want to follow you. You are my Lord. From now on, it's not me anymore. It is you. And this is what Jesus offers you today. You can do it in silence, in private, in your home, in your room, in your secret place. But you can also do it here. And remember, when you do it here, we are all witnesses, so we can help you remember that you did this, that you were not out of your mind, that this was not a mistake. But it is also something where we can rejoice with you, we can celebrate with you, and it will also be something that will encourage other people to be bold to step out and pick a side. But today, that again is the invitation to you. Again, if you resemble, if you have found that something that we described in this prison, by the way, which is described in the Gospels, if you find yourself in here, please be assured you don't need to stay in there. You don't need to stay in there. It is your choice. But you can come out because Jesus Christ came from the outside to free you. If you find any other God who came into this world to save people, please let me know, and let me know right away. Because as far as I know, only Jesus Christ has done this. All the other gods, leave it up to chance. You can try hard, and maybe it will be enough. Even this God that now is so powerfully trying to conquer the world. I cannot understand how you can believe in a God that hates you. I mean, that insults my intelligence. I don't know how you can do that. But Jesus Christ came, he loves you, he gives you a choice. His hand is stretched out, and he wants you to join him and come out of prison. So if God has spoken to you this morning, you know, please do yourself a favor. You know, either in your room or right here, right now, you know, take his hand and come out of prison. Come out of prison. This is what I wish you. I tell you, I have never, ever regretted in 35 years that night when I was 18 years old, I took Jesus' hand and let him take me out of prison. So if God is speaking to you, if God is calling you right now, you know, I would invite you to come here and stand with me on the right hand here on this section that says God and make sure that you accept Jesus' offer to take you out of prison. I will be quiet for a little bit, and whoever feels led to come out here, you know, he's greatly invited, and I promise you we will rejoice with you. It will be a great day, and with us we're going to be in good company because many, many angels in heaven, many of those 14 trillion, you know, whatever they are going to rejoice with us and with you. Amen.
Lord Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you that people called you the hound dog of heaven. You will hound us down. And even if we resist you, you know, how long can we resist you? How long can we resist an offer that is so unique? I thank you so very much that you saved me from prison. You took me out of there. You broke down that wall of debt that I could never, ever repay. I ask you that you keep close in your arms everybody who's here, who has heard your word. And for those of us who are still resisting to give up, whether it's those strongholds that we believe we need to be complete, whether it's just the straight out refusal to accept your offer or to even consider it, or whether it's any other thing that prevents us from trusting you, from following you. I ask you, Lord Jesus, that you be patient with us and you continue to pursue us for your glory, and so that one day in heaven there will be this multitude of souls that are going to worship you. What a marvelous picture. What a marvelous situation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Christian, for sharing the gospel. I'm going to ask Christian and Denise to greet you in the back as you leave.